Welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about the massive media onslaught against Iran. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about the massive media onslaught against Iran, and in order to answer this question and some of the different variables around it, we decided to humbly invite Sheikh Ali Qumi from the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. Let's go ahead and welcome him and start the talk show. Sheikh Ali Qumi, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you.
So, Sheikh Ali Qumi, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule coming and joining us. We have been talking about, over these past few talk shows, different subjects concerning these, you know, recent riots that we saw in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Of course, the importance of the subject was so great because, as we had said in one of our programs, within the country, people know that things are under control. But outside of the country, we find that a lot of people don't know what's happening. And matter of fact, one of the reasons why people not only don't know what's happening, but are misinformed about what is happening, is this massive media onslaught that we saw against Iran. So we wanted to invite you again, fortunately or unfortunately, it keeps on falling on you to come and talk about these serious issues. But again, Allah bless you for talking about them. So if you could just tell us a little bit about this massive media onslaught and perhaps some of the intricacies and kind of details that occurred that most probably a lot of the viewers don't know about, in the name of Allah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani la'ini rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thanks for the opportunity. Brother C, if you look at the source of information that the outsiders have and the insight that the outsiders can potentially get about Iran is through media.
Sure.
Right? I would say like maybe 1% of people, you know, of the population that is concerned outside of Iran, about Iran, only maybe 1% or even less of those people have anybody that they know in Iran in person, you know, right. Their relative, their son, their daughter, their brother, their sister, their father, or whatever, right? Uncle, sure. Aunt, only maybe 1%, not even that, that's exaggeration too. So 99% of the people, how are they getting their information on Iran? Mm-hmm. Through media. Now, look at the media strategy and policy. The media, the imperialist media empire, you know, this is basically the Zionist media empire. This is overshadowing all other media outlets, right, mm-hmm. in the world, including but not limited to Islamic Pulse, right?
It's sheer size, some of the resources.
This is huge, their disposal, right? Yeah. That industry and that
mainstream media, yeah.
Right? How, if you look at their policy, how do they devise their policy? There are certain principles, underlying principles, that are established for these media outlets that fall within the umbrella of the Zionist media empire or the imperialist media empire or the Western media empire at large.
Sure.
One of those policies is Iran Harasi, as we call it in Farsi, and in English it would be
Iranophobia.
Iranophobia, you know, where they need to and they must, as a matter of policy, throughout the year, we haven't gotten to the riots yet.
Sure.
Throughout the year, you know, it's one of the mustaqil and one of the permanent policy of the Western media empire to spread Iranophobia.
Mm, this fear about Iran. And just a case in point to add to what you're saying. So it's like as soon as the nuclear issue is done,
I was about to
then
say that.
Riot things happen. This riot thing hasn't finished. You know, then all of a sudden this drone story now is out there. These fraudulent claims, you know, that the Islamic Republic of Iran keeps on denying. But after drones, it's going to be something else. And you're right. It really, as not only are we, you know, scholars in our own humble selves, but as political analysts, you're watching these things on the media. How constantly there is something that is being said against the Islamic Republic of Iran in order to have the people always very scared, you know,
And take this, you know, take this. It goes to the next level. The next level is where you fabricate lies and propaganda. So one time is like, you know, you just get the things that are negative about Iran and highlight them.
Magnify them.
Right? Yeah. Magnify them, you know, make them bold. Mm. There's another time where you start fabricating stuff at top of that. Mm. You fabricate lies, you misinform people. Now, there are hundreds of examples where it has been proven that the mainstream media, social media, it's a different discussion, right? Mainstream media, which is supposed to be more reliable than social media.
Right, just journalism. Right? And
they lie flat out, blatantly against Iran. Mm. And nobody can do anything about them. Right?
And they keep on repeating these lies. Which really confuses the people.
That's one of the tactics, right? When you study how the Western media operates, it's like, you know, CNN, BBC, Fox, ABC, this, all of them, you know, they repeat that same script, you know, just change the words sometimes, change the narrative slightly. But the net effect of the narrative is Iranophobia.
Right.
Misguide people, so they freak out about Iran.
Yeah.
Right. Now, let me show you this picture, right? If you look at this picture, his name is Shahid Arman Aliwardi, right? He's an Iranian youth who's 21 years old. He was part of the besiege as well. And during these recent riots, he was martyred.
He was 21 years old.
21 years old.
He was like he was a
Mahsa Amini's age. Yeah. Allow me to say that.
If not younger than Mahsa Amini.
1 year younger than her, right? How many of the viewers, they know about him? He was brutally assaulted by 70 rioters in Iran, beaten up to death. Horrible way of leaving this world.
Well,
and he was a Hosa student too, by the way.
Yeah, he was an Islamic seminary student.
Right? Who knows about it? And why not? Ask yourself, why not?
You know,
sometimes people, they don't understand the value and the the rationale and the logic behind media, right? They take it, you know, they just look at the entertainment part of it or waste of time. No, media in today's time and age is actually a decision maker, right? You don't know about it, and many viewers like you don't know about this brother who is a Shia, who is a Muslim. Even Shias don't know about him. Even Muslims don't know about him, right? Let alone Christians and, you know, other faiths. Nobody other than, you know, those who are living in Iran or, you know, the outsiders, maybe, let's say, you know, there's a very small fraction. I give it to you. Okay, you may be screaming on the other side of the screen. No, 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 I know about him. But you're, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you're insignificant,
there's
right?
Like one or two.
At large, the general masses don't know about this brother because we don't have strong media in our hand. And the enemy decided not to show him because he was a victim of the terrorists that are supported by the West. So Western media is not going to show him.
And I'd like to add, not only was he a victim of the terrorism that is supported by the West in these recent riots, right? But he's also a victim of this journalism media terrorism.
That, right? Definitely. That's exactly
You must remember because, you know, again, I said as political analysts, we have to kind of follow these things. With the Shahid Qasem Soleimani thing, the amount of media terrorism, which was done via censorship. Mm-hmm. I mean, you couldn't even post a picture of the individual without getting your account blocked or Instagram blocked or, I don't know, WhatsApp.
Social media, we'll come to social media. Right now I'm talking about mainstream media, which is supposed to be more responsible. There is accountability.
Getting the news out there for
there
people.
There are people who are working on the payroll of, you know, this company and the company has like, you know, a policy of, you know, we're not going to lie, we're not going to misinform. And so what is going on here? Where is that professional journalism?
Where nobody knows about this individual.
Nobody knows about him, but every single person knows about Mahsa Amini. Mm. How does that happen, right? Mm. Let me show you another picture. You know, this other picture behind your back. You know, who is this brother? How many of us know him? You know, his name is Arsham, right? And he was a victim of Shah Chiragh incident that was again staged by American mercenary ISIS.
Right. In the city of Shiraz.
In the city of Shiraz. At a religious shrine, right? And he's not the only one, by the way. There were at least 15 others who were martyred on that same day. Mm-hmm. So you, the West, the Western media, you're so concerned about Mahsa Amini and individual. What about this kid? this child. It's shameless and it's stone heartedness. Nobody knows about him again. Like I said, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, this
it's just hypocrisy.
This, and
to
this
an
is not just the first time, or I'm just picking on this one example that, you know, one out of many. No, it's very consistent pattern.
Right.
You know, on 1 month after the death of Mahsa Amini, roughly 1 month, there was a bomb blast at a girls' school in Afghanistan.
Mm, right, I remember that, yeah.
How many people know about it? Mm. You're so concerned about women, and you're so concerned about women's rights. Mm. You're so concerned about, you know, innocent lives being lost, right? That even the president of America comes and says, you know, we're going to free Iran. What about this Afghanistan that you have turned into a war zone and left it as a war zone? Shame on you, right? And then nobody knows about this. Where's the media? Why are you not giving coverage to what happened there? Again, because it was carried out by ISIS, which is a product of the United States of America. Mm. They created it, they funded it, they sponsored it, they used them. ISIS yes. has been one of the strongest tool. And, you know, may Allah bless the soul of Shaheed Qasim Soleimani and the likes and Shaheed Abu Mahdi Mohandes and, you know, other responsible people of the region who actually fought these ISIS mercenaries. They're trained by the Mossad. They're trained by CIA, right? They fought them and pushed them back. May Allah yes. have mercy on the souls of yes. the martyrs. And when ISIS couldn't take out Shaheed Soleimani, and America knew they can't fight the lion of Allah, you know, I would want to call him, in the battlefield. They mm. took him out in a cowardly manner. Shame mm. on America. Mm.
Mm.
Death to America. Mm. That's what the reality of America is.
Mm.
That's what it deserves. May Allah's curse be on America.
Mm.
Right?
So we're because, talking about media onslaught. Don't forget that.
So where is the media? How does media portray it?
Mm.
Well, he actually saved the entire region, Shaheed Qasim Soleimani, right? Media doesn't want to say that.
Yeah.
They want to portray him as a terrorist. Why? Because that's the narrative of the US government. And why is he a terrorist? Because he failed America's most expensive project in this region, and that was Daesh.
Yes.
See, you connect the dots now, right? This child, nobody cares about, right? Mahsa Amini, everybody cares about.
Right.
Wow, okay. Right. So he's not a human. Those sisters in, you know, Afghanistan, 53 of them on the same day, they were killed.
Yeah.
Cold-blooded. They were students. Nobody cares about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they
the
were
media,
schoolgirls.
The media doesn't make it a highlight. It's not on the front page news. No. It's not.
So they pick and choose.
That's the media hypocrisy, right? And this is what we're dealing with in this time. When it comes to Iran's riots, oh man, this is the biggest issue of the entire world.
Mm.
Palestine has been liberated. The Zionist regime has, you know, stopped usurping the lands and, you know, occupying the lands and killing people and stopping the medication to get going. You know, every problem of the world is solved. The only problem we are left with is Iran riots, or Iranians don't like the system of Wilayat al-Faqih.
Right.
That
which,
needs to be overthrown.
Which of course we proved in our second talk show of the series.
This is a
which
fallacy.
Is the massive support of the Iranian people
you look at,
for
look
the Islamic
at the,
system.
Yeah, look at the recent November 4th rallies, right?
Right.
We don't loop videos like you do, right? Look at these videos. It's
right.
obvious. Even if you pause the video, you can't count the people who are participating in it.
Yes.
Look at their hijab. Do you think they're burning their hijabs? No, they're proud of their hijab. Right? Unlike what the mainstream media wants to show to the people that, oh, all the Iranian women, you know, they don't want. Yeah, maybe there is that very small fraction. So be it.
Right.
Right? It's they're not representing the entire nation. Mm. And the nation should have the right to make rules for their own country and for their own nation. Who are you to meddle into the affairs of these countries and this entire region?
It's really interesting, you know, Sheikh Ali Qummi. So, for example, based on our own experience at Islamic Pulse, at least. So I remember when it came to this kind of censoring and, you know, and I'm not too familiar with a lot of the technical terms, right? But when we had over 50,000, subscribers, and we used to have views in the thousands, I mean, you know, right. One Minute Wisdom, I remember, you know, it had in the hundreds, if not at least in thousand. As soon as we saw that the popularity was picking up, all of a sudden, the account was cut down, the account was shut down. Then we had to open a second account that hit about 6,000 subscribers. And again, after it hit 6,000 subscribers, in the first 10 days of Muharram, they shut down that channel. And now, alhamdulillah, we're at Islamic Pulse 3, the third channel. We're about to hit 5,000. So we kind of know that every time, you know, that our numbers start to increase, our reach starts to increase. They do this very shameless type of tactics. They shut down the channel and.
Well, that's why Islamic Pulse, I don't think, ever had any official channel on YouTube. Because YouTube, Facebook, you know, Instagram, all of these so-called mainstream social media channels, or platforms rather, they are known to be the battlefield of the enemy, right? It is, you know, the turf and the ground of the enemy. They control it, right? So for instance, you look at the Zionists, right? They are sitting behind the, you know, management consoles and, you know, they're pressing their buttons. And a lot of it is actually automated nowadays. It used to be like this, where a human intervention was required. Most of it gets accomplished, like most of the censoring, it gets accomplished through automated algorithms, right?
Right.
So it's not something, you know, which is hidden, at least for people who have a technological background. They know about it. You know, maybe some youth and some simple-minded people, you know, don't really understand the intricacies of how, you know, the coding, the back-end coding works and, you know, how these numbers get controlled and how they're manipulated and how they're exponentially, you know, increased. And we're going to talk about, you know, this lady, this CIA operative in the U.S., the Iranian lady.
Okay, sure.
I forgot her name. It'll come up, right? Mm-hmm. She has her Instagram is in millions, right? Mm-hmm. 8 million or something, right? Masih Ali Nejad, right?
Masih.
We'll talk about it later in this show if we have time. But, you know, you know, go to America in 2014 and by 2020-21 you have 8 million Instagram followers. You gotta be kidding me, right?
I mean,
we know how social media works, you know. So you guys doing a great job at Islamic Pulse. Keep it up, inshallah, and may Allah help you improve in all aspects. Don't worry about these numbers. These numbers are there to demoralize you, demoralize the team. Because, you know, the immediate effect is like, oh, nobody's listening to our words. No, it's not like that. Alhamdulillah, people are sharing the content. It's reaching to those who it deserves, you know, who deserve to receive this content. So don't look at these numbers or get discouraged or anything like that, right? These numbers are intentionally kept low to discourage you from spreading the truth, the voice of reason, right? This is what their plan is. So don't worry, and this is not just with Islamic Pulse. As a matter of fact, anybody who challenges that narrative that the West wants to be pushed, you know, they get this blocking and, you know, getting restricted from posting stuff and so on and so forth, right? There's another interesting phenomena that those who are interested in this type of talk, they should look into shadow banning, right? What shadow banning is. And it's been going on, it's obvious it's been going on at Islamic Pulse and many other platforms, by the way, not just Islamic Pulse as a channel.
And so I want to reverse now the equation. So just as they are shadow banning or they're trying to limit the numbers, you know, so that people, for example, not only the content creators, but the people who are following, for example, the channel, they think that, you know, there's only four or five people on this channel, or there's only four or five people watching, and we're not making a difference. Right. So if they can do this, then they can very easily do the opposite and make it look like, oh, millions of people are watching this guy's content.
That's how they're
and
setting the narrative.
He's so influential.
Right?
This is how they're setting the narrative.
And this is how they make Mahsa Amini popular. This is how, you know, they make it viral. This is how they make this issue big, right? And there was this documentary I watched. I think it's called The Dilemma or The Social Dilemma.
Yeah, The Social Dilemma.
Right. It was very interesting. They show like how social media was used to overthrow and change governments.
Interesting.
And change the results of elections, votes and elections and so on and so forth, and popularity of a candidate and so on and so forth. You know, it was a decent watch. You know, I'm not saying I agree with everything that was said in there. You know, that's not the point. The point is that social media is like, for instance, Facebook is a CIA project. Well, CIA is a spying agency, right? Allegedly intelligence agency, right? What do they need a social media platform for? Social media is for me and you to connect to our families and friends and, people.
Right.
What are these spying agencies doing on this? Why do they own these platforms? Now, these are the questions people should be asking to themselves before they start making judgment of what the mainstream narrative is and what not, right? Like, for instance, in Iran, when you look at the riots, right? Well, people seem to think outside, and there are many who have contacted me and, you know, let's be honest about it. They were freaked out. They were like, you know, it's a war zone. Things are burning, you know. And they were concerned, like properly, right? And I told them that I'm living here. Everything is fine. We're going to madrasa. We're going to classes. We're going to the supermarket. We're going to the parks. You know, life is normal, right? We go and have like, you know, ice cream with the family, you know, and we go out to the restaurants. People are going to hospitals, you know. Everything is normal. Why are you so concerned? We're, as a matter of fact, concerned about you guys over there, you know, from that particular country.
No,
we're fine, but we're concerned. So what's happening?
Who's painting
this picture in people's mind? Who's making them believe that Iran is unsafe to go? Right? It is the media propaganda and lies and fabrications. You know, very small pockets were seen to have any disturbance in Iran, you know, and those two got contained. It's not an issue anymore, right? But Iran is all of a sudden very unsafe for people. Why? Because of this media propaganda. You know, you look at these, you talked about the popularity, how they make things popular, right?
There are
these click farms, they're called. Click farm is a concept, you know, where your clicks are actually automated and generated. So they're automatic.
Automatic.
And there are, you know, ways to set that, you know, for those who are who know how to work it, you know, they play around
farms.
With it. The click farms is basically what generates these clicks. What they basically generate is click bots, you know. Again, I don't want it to become like very technical discussion, but those click bots, you know, those actually crawl through these social media places and, you know, they do what they're told to do, right? They're just these small little algorithms, basically, right? Then, you know, look at this Twitter storm that they tried to launch using Twitter against Iran.
Sure.
Right? 300,000 Twitter users exist.
300,000
Twitter users that are Iranians.
Okay, sure.
300,000, right?
Yes.
Now, this Mahsa Amini hashtag, it broke all records and surpassed the 100 million mark.
100 million hashtag things where the total users of Twitter are 300,000.
The Iranians, you know. How in the world does Mahsa Amini become the main, you know, leading hashtag, and that too for weeks?
Yes.
How do you accomplish that?
It's not even natural. I wish like these guys, and I think we had said it in one of the talk shows, is I wish that they would do things, you know, intelligently and in a manner where it's not so blatant and not so, you know, you didn't have to do, how many was the hashtag that you said?
100 million.
Okay, you could have done, you know, 50 million, 30 million.
Make it something reasonable.
Yeah, reasonable so that people really believe it. It's interesting.
The thing is, they know.
In one of the traditions, it says, I don't know, from the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam, where it says that, you know, thank God that Allah has made our enemies, you know, dumb for paraphrasing.
Humaqa is the word used. It's like they're ignorant,
dumb. And so this is a case in point. I mean, still, so you're saying 300,000 Twitter users from Iran, and we had 100 million hashtags. Yeah, please continue.
Now, you know, these bots and trolls with fake accounts, they were retweeting the same message over and over again. So it's like a loop. For again, those who know a little bit about programming, you know, it's loop. You just put a for loop and, you know, or a while loop, you know, it keeps going.
Interesting.
Right? Because you're just spewing out the same message, you know, copy paste basically. So that was, you know, these are all the researches that are the aftermath, and they came out, you know. I was looking at some reports here in Iran. Then, you know, these clicks that we talked about, they're being generated from three places.
These clicks are being generated from three places, right? Sure.
I know you can guess two of them. The third one, well, maybe not. You know, you can guess the U.S. is, you know, the head of the snake is there.
Right.
Then the second one you have is the Zionist regime. These I know you can guess. But the third one, maybe you can't. That's Albania.
You know, to be really honest with you, I would have guessed Albania first.
Why?
I don't know. I listen to your talk shows.
So, so Albania is the headquarter of MKO.
The MKO,
right? MEK or MKO. It's a terrorist organization that has the blood of innocent human beings. You know, 17,000 or more innocent human beings. This Iranian, ex-Iranian, you know, they're not housed here anymore. They have their remainders here. They have their residuals here, but they're housed in Albania now, right? And
these are the click farms.
Yeah,
Albania.
Yeah. You know, the amongst the three countries that generated those and accumulated those clicks, one was Albania.
Wow.
So do you think, like, people, how many people do you think in Albania would be interested in Mahsa Amini, other than these MEK and MKO terrorists?
They don't really care, right?
They don't. So anyhow, this is something interesting. These are, again, facts, right?
Yes.
You look at Meta, right, which owns Facebook and
YouTube,
WhatsApp.
WhatsApp.
Anything that, you know, you go there and try to post, like you pointed out earlier, regarding Shahid Soleimani, for instance, right? Who's the savior of this entire region. So let's say I live in this entire region, and I say he's my savior and he's my hero, and I put his photo on my profile. Do you think Facebook should have any problem with it?
They shouldn't. I mean,
it's a social media, right? He's my hero. If somebody can say, you know, this actor,
Donald Trump,
this actor or this politician is my hero, why am I not allowed to say that Qasem Soleimani is my hero?
Right.
But guess what? Again, right in your face. They don't even try to conceal these things anymore. Your post would get deleted and you would be like, violation of community guidelines message would come to you, and then your profile is gone. And they're like not one, two, three, four, ten, they're like hundreds and, you know, if not thousands or maybe more.
You know,
this is happening. Then, you know, my last point on this is like YouTube.
Because I like doing those cliffhanger type things, right? I apologize before the YouTube comment. But what's really interesting is that this is not something that is limited to, for example, just the Islamic Republic of Iran. Yes, the amount of, I guess, massiveness, for lack of a better word, and the huge amount that is done against the Islamic Republic is perhaps more than in other scenarios. But one thing that we brought up in previous talk shows, and perhaps even this talk show, is this idea that whenever you have a stance which is in opposition to the owners of this media empire, which is the Zio imperialist, you know, whatever guys, when you have a stance against them, then they come out and they do these things.
Right.
So, for example, somebody might say, no, you guys are paranoid. This isn't just about Muslims. This isn't just about... No, and that's what we will tell you. Listen, when the Russia-Ukraine, how one-sided and to this day is the mainstream media against Russia and for Ukraine. Matter of fact, you will find how they try to subdue comments about Russia versus comments about Ukraine. If you look at Taiwan and China, they do the same thing in that situation, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at, for example, you know, the revolutionary movements in Latin and South America, they do the same thing with them. You look at North Korea, South Korea, and Japan, and that whole political situation, they do the same thing there. So this is very common trends that are seen for those people who are following
them. Awesome. Not so true. And very well put. You know, it's all about, you know, furthering their agenda and furthering the Western hegemony, and you know, making sure that imperialism and Zionism, they prevail. But you know, they should know that these fake numbers are not going to do them any good. The reality on the ground is different. Like we mentioned, you know, just this most recent procession, which was in the support of the Islamic Republic of Iran and the system of Wilayatul Faqih, look at it. You know, look at it. This is what the mainstream population of Iran is saying, right? Yes. Those very few outcasts and fringe elements and, you know, mentally disturbed people, you know, some come from disturbed families, right? You know, some are, you know, they're drug addicts, right? They're just paid to do these things. And, you know, we all know how that works, right? So those people, they don't represent the Iranian nation. The Iranian nation is standing with their system, right? And they come out on streets whenever it's required. You know, Shah Chiragh, we mentioned where it was bombing. You know, remember that boy?
The youth that was martyred.
You know, if we can show the picture here, if we see, this is after that bomb blast, right? This is after that terrorist attack on the shrine. How in the world do so many people come to the shrine fearlessly?
Right.
After there was
a terrorist attack. The firing.
I said bomb blast, right?
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. I meant yourself.
Right?
Yeah.
This firing and, you know, taking out these people by this mercenary, ISIS mercenary, right? So the question is, like, you know, do you not see this? Well, of course you don't, because you don't get this shown, the viewers, right? I mean, they don't get this shown. It's not on mainstream media. You know, it's rarely on social media. Somebody posts it, you know, they block it. You know, they make sure that it doesn't show up on your wall on Facebook and so on and so forth, right? So you probably don't see this, but we're seeing it. We're living here, right? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So you have to take our words for it. And look at the picture.
Yeah, that we're
the
able
funeral,
to provide.
The funeral. So they had one funeral in Shiraz. The other funeral was in Mashhad at Imam Raza alayhi salam, his shrine, right? And if we look at these pictures, this is huge. This is, you know, can you count these people?
No,
you know?
It's an ocean of people in support of the system. And you were going to talk about YouTube, and I kind of
YouTube
cut you
was
off.
Just, I was just going to say that, you know, they give this violation of terms and conditions message, and your YouTube account is terminated. Now, you go to this, you know, this media empire, what is it doing?
Sure.
While it's targeting the minds of the population at large, you know, which are non-Iranian population at large, in different languages, they're also making sure that they are providing misinformation, disinformation, propaganda to the Iranians in Farsi language.
Right, sure.
Right? Now, this is amazing. Why in the world would you want to do it in Farsi? You know, that's not even your language. Mm. So they want to create this uproar from within the system because, and this is important.
Yes.
Because the arrogant powers, they were not able to break Iran from the outside. So their only hope is to break Iran from the inside. And this is what we just witnessed.
In certain cases, they're quite smart, actually. I mean, even though they miscalculate, and their biggest miscalculation is that the majority of the population of the Islamic Republic of Iran is against. That is a huge miscalculation, you know. But this is very, unfortunately, cunning to try to, you know, destabilize the nation from within. And how do you do that? Well, primarily by attacking
propaganda.
The minds of the people,
especially
in
the
Farsi,
youth.
In Persian propaganda.
So if you look at the Persian channels that, you know, the arrogant powers are actually hosting, one is, you've listened about it, you've seen it, Iran International.
Right.
I actually call it Saudi International because it is funded by Saudis.
Iran International is funded by Saudis.
Right. Mm-hmm. The second one is BBC Farsi.
Yeah, BBC right? Farsi and is funded by BBC.
BBC UK, right?
UK.
Mm. Now, Manoto, that's again UK.
Mm-hmm. Manoto is, okay, the United Kingdom.
It's again United Kingdom. Then Voice of America.
Voice of America, hello.
It's the US,
funded by the US government.
Gem TV from Turkey.
Gem TV is funded by Turkey.
And then MBC Persian, UAE.
I brought you the United Arab Emirates.
Right. Mm. I just brought you these six, you know, just as an example. Mm. Look at their budgets.
Well, what's interesting is a lot of them are from the UK.
Right, of course. Mm. I mean, that whole chapter of Tashayyo Anglisi and the Britishism,
you know, again, this is interesting. These are a lot of points that come together.
Yes, of course. Mm. And this is what's important for us to be able to connect the dots and put the pieces of puzzle together, right? This is what good analysis is about, right? Try to understand what they're doing. At the end of the day, they're planning, Allah is planning, right? Try to understand Allah's plan and try to understand Shaitan and his followers' plan. Mm. If you look at their budgets, right, and I think we can just show this slide up here, you know, for Iran International, it's $50 million USD per year. For BBC Persian, $18 million USD per year. Manoto, $20 million USD per year. Voice of America, $17 million USD per year. Gem TV, $24 million USD per year. MBC Persian, which is again from UAE, it's $15 million USD per year. These are just six of them, right? Mm. Overall, if you look at the investment that they're making in Farsi language channels, satellite channels, and that is, you know, it's not including like the social media work that is being done out of these hideouts and, you know, their information centers, you know, where people are hired to sit and just do propaganda. They're given notes and stuff. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about these mainstream satellite channels, right? $810 million USD per year spent on media and Farsi only.
I mean, $810 million, we're talking about $1 billion here. $1 billion being spent
on Farsi channels only.
I mean, I just
by who? By the enemies of Iran.
By the enemies of Iran.
What do you expect them to show you and what do you expect them to feed you?
And by the way, I think sometimes, for example, we read these or we see these numbers and we hear some of these things. We don't really understand what's going on. These are you listed six channels which are running content, you know, probably 24 hours a day, every day of the week. And it's not the same recycled content. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of
presenters
work
who are hired
that is going on into this. A lot of work. Wow.
Mm-hmm. See the enemies plot and plan, right? Now, what is your source of information? At the end of the day, you know, you don't have any, you know, there's Press TV, alhamdulillah, you know, there are a few other good media outlets, but again, they're not allowed to operate freely. They're not, you know, outside, you know, their offices are shut down. You can't really be their correspondent. They can't have presenters. You know, if you become their presenter, you know, remember Mirzi Hashmi?
What
was it all about, right?
Yeah,
they
picked her up, threw her in prison with actual charges.
Right. So I think it's clear what we're trying to say without having to go too much in detail. Mm-hmm. There are thousands of websites, you know, all kinds of websites. They're planned properly, you know, that if somebody's a liberal, you approach them like this. If somebody's religious, you approach them like this. If somebody's Sunni, you feed them this information. Somebody's Shia, all of these market segments and, you know, silos and, you know, slicing and dicing. It's a science. It's really, you know, something that, you know, the West has worked on. And unfortunately, we, our people, for the most part, have not. You know, I'm not talking about Iran. Iran is, you know, alhamdulillah, much better than the rest of the Muslim Ummah, right? Let's put it this way. But honestly, like, you know, we didn't do justice to defend and protect the Islamic system, the Islamic revolution, Islam, right? I mean, our Islamic values, right? What Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam taught us, right?
It's interesting. I mean, you know, because, for example, when the George Floyd thing happened or the Breonna Taylor issue happened, or I don't know, a lot of the youth, for example, the African-American youth that have been killed by the police in the United States of America, You know, I think that, again, my humble opinion, that if the Muslim world had a powerful media, you know, system, we could have done the exact opposite, or we could have done the same thing that they did with Mahsa Amini. We could have done a world Twitter type thing on George Floyd, you know?
See, one thing, remember, it's a formula, right? All of these things that we talk about, you know, that the batil, the falsehood, has been able to do to promote falsehood and to promote evil, to promote indecency, to promote wrong in the world, you know, all of these things, not just, you know, the hashtags and Twitter. No, we're talking about all of these things actually should have been used and can be used to promote the message of peace, message of tranquility, message of love, message of Islam, message of, you know, decency, morality, helping others, you know, caring for others, looking at other nations as your counter, you know, part, like Quran says, you know, we have split you in different colors, and, you know, so just so that you get recognized, that's it. It's not about somebody being superior or superior nation, you know, and one nation controlling other nation, one nation bullying other nation, one nation bombing other nation. This is not what it's supposed to be. So all of those tactics that they're using to strengthen falsehood can be and should be used to strengthen haq. And this is the responsibility of Ahle Haq, because Ahle Batil are doing their job as we're discussing it. Mm-hmm. They're doing their job. Ahle Haq are missing out in some cases. Of course, you know, they're the likes of Shahid Soleimani and Shahid Fakhrizadeh, and, you know, our great martyrs who have done a lot for the Ummah, our scholars, our, you know, Maraji, our Fuqaha, you know, especially the leader, you know, look at this age, he's working tirelessly to fulfill his responsibility. Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, his schedule is, you know, way harder than you and me.
Right.
At that age. So, you know, the Ahle Haq, they need to...
The people of
basically,
truth.
Basically, the people of truth, those who are supporters of truth, those who are waiting for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam to appear or reappear, you know.
And the people of truth of any religion, even for that matter.
Exactly.
We all come on a common platform and fight this, these forces
just,
of evil and these
just
forces
people,
of injustice.
You know, the people who are justice-loving people, right, who do not want to put up with arrogance, who do not want to put up with oppression, who do not want to see a Palestinian child, you know, being, you know, massacred by these Zionists, and, you know, their land and their houses are not to be occupied, you know, the Yemenis not being bombed by the Saudis, you know, those who want to see this, they need to do something about it, right? Sometimes we just suffice, and I'm talking about myself, we suffice with just talking, right? Talking is good, better than not talking, right? But this is not where it stops.
Acting is better
more,
than talking.
Right, you can, if you can write an article, write an article. What are you waiting for? You know, do the research. It's all available out there, right? We research all of these things online. You know, we don't have any special sources or anything. Nobody prepares it for us. We, you know, come and talk about these things after our research. Yeah. You know, everybody can do it. Then, you know, media is not just the only thing. You know, if you can write a poem, you know, do whatever. Write a book. But do something about the situation, the current situation of the world. It's a responsibility that we all have to answer on the Day of Judgment, especially in the time and age of technology. You know, Rahbar, in one of the places, he said that we will have to, and I'm paraphrasing, we will have to answer on the Day of Judgment if we have not reached out to people while technology was at our disposal and we did not bother to deliver haq to these people. We will have to answer. You know, I just paraphrased.
Well, Sheikh Ali Qumi, I think I'm sure you had some more things to talk about. We did run out of time, probably went a little bit over, but I think it's a very beautiful place to go ahead and take a pause in today's talk show. We want to thank you for taking time out and talking about this really very serious matter, and something that is really a concern to every single one of us, as you said, this massive media onslaught, not only against the Islamic Republic of Iran, but against truth, against justice, against freedom and honesty and the true moral values and virtues that all people do adhere to innately, and of course how it's the responsibility of every single one of us out there to do something about that and to be able to fight these kind of media onslaughts and today and in the future.
And not worry about what others say about you, you know, and whether you get clicks or likes or, you know, so on and so forth or not.
Do the right thing.
Do the right thing and just, you know, hope and pray and strive and be sincere enough that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your effort and the, you know, Imam of the time and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam be pleased with you. That's it. You know, you do your wazifa.
Your responsibility.
Yeah, your responsibility. Don't worry about like the fame or any of these things.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. And dear viewers, thank you for joining us on yet another Islamic Pulse talk show, where of course we were talking about this massive media onslaught against Iran. Until another talk show, be safe. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Where have you?